I've been there. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. All We Like Sheep is the title of my message. John 10, and begin reading in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Of all of God's creatures, God oftentimes uses sheep more often than any others to illustrate our relationship with Him and to help to describe us as His people. You think of Psalm chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, all about the shepherd and the sheep. John chapter 21, as Jesus was talking to Peter, he told him three times, feed my sheep. The Bible says we are his, several times it says in Psalms, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, sheep possess some kind of interesting and unique characteristics. It's really not a flattering comparison, I guess. In fact, I've been around sheep a little bit, not as near as much as cattle, but enough to know that sheep are dumb. And that's kind of an accurate description of us sometimes too. You've heard the quote from the scriptures, led as a sheep to the slaughter. People are sometimes called sheeple. Pacifists are like sheep who believe that wolves are vegetarians. It's useless for the sheep to pass a resolution in favor of vegetarianism while the wolf remains of a different opinion. Men are like sheep, of which a flock is more easily driven than a single one. A lot of analogies there that fit there, and I want to look at the nature of sheep a little bit this morning. The first aspect I want to look at is this. Sheep are hard to teach. You know, you think about, and some of you may be acquainted with this, some of these more than the others, but growing up, I remember Lassie. And Rin Tin Tin, these dogs that were trained and just pretty good at, you know, acting every week in their various scenarios and so forth. And then there was a horse, Mr. Ed, and other horses as well, you know, Trigger and Silver, you know, and all these things. And there was even Arnold, the pig on Green Acres. See, all these animals trained, and you know, monkeys and elephants and everything, but what about sheep? Can you think of any sheep that were ever trained and used in any kind of acting like that? There's a movie called Babe about a pig that was herding sheep. And I read a little bit about that, and it said that the sheep had invisible cords that they used, leashes on them that they used to kind of keep them moving orderly and everything. And the only thing that they trained them to do was stand in one spot for a moment. Sheep are dumb. They're hard to train. And they really don't have, they don't know much by nature. They can't find food on their own. They'll bloat from overeating, and they're not able to pass the gas, so they'll just explode. I had the neighbor raise sheep, and we went out checking on him one night, and he had one bloated. We had to go get a hose to jam down its throat to pass the gas. They get tangled in the bush, and once you get them out of trouble, they'll go right back and do it again. They're dumb, and they're hard to teach. They need a shepherd. Amen? We need a shepherd. That pretty well describes humanity. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. I mean, that's man. Stop and think about some of the dumb things that people do. You look and you say, what were they thinking? They weren't. They were just acting. Some of the kids, things my kids have done. What were you thinking? You weren't. You're just doing. Proverbs, Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that can apply in a lot of ways. Certainly it applies in the regard to salvation, but there's a lot of other applications of that thing as well. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're all astray and in need of that shepherd. And we're not going to find our way on our own. Now, I am not a Calvinist. I do not believe in Calvinism. I believe Calvinism is a heresy, and it's based upon a works salvation. With that said, I also realize that the Scripture says no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. Amen. I believe that the Spirit of God works in the heart of an individual to bring them to Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just, I don't believe it's only a select few. I believe God does that with everyone. But I look back at my own life specifically, and that period of 6 months to a year before I got saved, God was definitely dealing with me, convicting me, showing me that I was in need of a shepherd. And the mess that I'd made of my life, those first 23 years of it. And I believe God does that with everyone. He draws us to himself. But some people say, nope, no thanks, want none of that. Because every way of man is right in his own eyes. But the end thereof are the ways of death. That's humanity. Look at Psalm 119, verse 176. Psalm 119:176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And you know what? Saved people go astray too. That's humanity. We need a shepherd. We fail to recognize our dependence upon him. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many, doesn't say any, but not many mighty, not many noble are called. Why is that? They don't recognize their dependence upon him. They don't glorify him. It's those of us that realize, you know what, I'm nothing without him, without my shepherd to lead me. Verse 27, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Over in Isaiah 55, it says that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. And we need to, if you want to be used to God, that's the first step. To realize it's not me, it's nothing of me, and I can't accomplish anything apart from my shepherd. But the problem is we fail to recognize that. We fall into that trap of thinking that somehow it's me, it's what I've done. I look at this church and what God has done here in the past 11 years, and I'm amazed. And I realize it's not me. It's God. God, for some reason, has chosen to bless us in a way when other churches are struggling financially, and we look at a $20,000 surplus for the year, it's just like, God, I don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. Thank you, God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Apostle Paul's talking about himself here. He's given his testimony of what God's been doing in his life. And Paul was, it said, not many wise men. Paul was a wise man. Paul was a noble man. Paul was a very intelligent, very well-trained individual. He was one of those exceptions. And God gave to Paul, as we studied on Wednesday nights about the church age, that God gave to Paul the revelation of what he was going to be doing with the Gentiles in this period of time in which we live today. God chose him above everyone else to give that knowledge, that wisdom, that teaching to. Paul got some special things. He talks about in the opening verses of chapter 12 about being caught up and taken to heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, he cannot tell. And he says, I saw some things that were unspeakable to utter. He says, I saw things I can't tell you about. And that ruined him for this life here. God gave Paul some tremendous things. But you know what? There's something else God gave Paul. Look at verse 7, chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Paul says, man, I've gotten so much. And to keep me down here, to keep my feet planted on the ground, to keep me humble, to keep me recognizing of the place that I occupy in the grand scheme of God's plan and purpose. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He wasn't really happy with this at first. He's got, I'd really like to get rid of this. Because I feel like it's hindering me in what you want me to do. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You want the key to being used of God? That's it right there. That it's not me. That I need to be dependent upon my shepherd as a sheep. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We need to recognize our constant need of dependence upon Him. To trust Him, to rely upon Him for everything in our lives. Because the moment we begin to think it's something about me, you're heading for a fall. You're going to end up flat on your face. Secondly, sheep have no sense of direction. They focus on eating. They got the head down and they just kind of keep nibbling, nibbling, nibbling from patch of grass to patch of grass and chomping away. And the next thing you know, they've wandered off somewhere. Gotten away from the flock, gotten away from the shepherd, gotten out in danger. Of all, you know, any kind, all kinds of danger. No idea where they are, how they got there, or how to get back. No sense of direction. Your cats or dogs. You know, we had a dog when I was a kid. Somebody had given us a dog, and it was probably, I'm going to say, probably 10 or 15 miles away from our house. It was a little beagle. And we took the dog home. We had to cross the Susquehanna River to get home. And just a very circuitous route, cross railroad tracks, all kinds of stuff, highways and everything. We had that dog for, I think, one day. He slipped out of the collar and found his way home. Cats, unfortunately, will also find their way home. But not a sheep. They're lost. They're done. You know, that's how we backslide. That's how we drift away from God. It's not by a willful, deliberate choice. It's just a little bit at a time. Just a nibble here, a nibble there, and getting our eyes off the shepherd. And the next thing we're looking around, it's how did I get here? And how in the world do I get back? You stop praying for others. Then you stop praying altogether. You miss a few days reading your word, the Word of God. And then you quit altogether. Start missing a few services here and there. And soon, totally isolated from other believers, lost separated. You know, our walk with God is maintained deliberately. It just doesn't happen. You know, as I said last week, our default is to go away from God. And we need to take action to overcome that default. If I'm going to stay right with God, if I'm going to stay in a close relationship with Him, that takes effort upon my part. I struggle with prayer. I'm not proud to admit that, but I do. I force myself to pray. I force myself to read this every morning. Doesn't matter how many times I've been through it. The important thing is I need to hear from God. And then I need to speak to Him about some things He's spoken to me about, or some things I recognize are wrong in here, or maybe about some needs out there as well. We need to force ourselves to do it, because if we don't, that gradual, subtle drift puts us lost without any idea how to get back to them, back again. How do you get back? You cry to the shepherd. You call out to Him. Look at Luke chapter 15. Verse 4. Verse 3 says, He spake this parable. Verse 4 of Luke 15. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. This parable of the lost sheep. That shepherd's out seeking. That shepherd is out looking. But put yourself in the mind and in the place of the shepherd for a moment. He has no idea where that sheep is. He just knows it's gone. What's the thing that tips him off to where the sheep is? Bah! Bah! The cry. Now God knows where we are when we leave. But what brings God to us? Bah! Bah! Our cry. He can't force you against your will. He might make it uncomfortable for you. But the choice has got to be yours. It's that cry. You find yourself separated, lost, somewhere totally gone, not even understanding how to get back. He knows. Just cry. And just like this shepherd, you know, we use this in the context of someone getting saved, and certainly that's a valid application of this thing. But I think another valid application is for a believer that wanders away. Because I believe God rejoices just as much in bringing the wayward believer back to Him as He does in bringing the sinner initially back to Himself. Listen, God loves us. You think He loves a sinner more than He loves you? Don't you think God rejoices when we get some things right in our lives and come back with Him? Of course He does. But you know what's interesting as you look at this? Do you know what happens later in what's told later in this chapter? Same chapter about the parable of the lost sheep. Just four verses later begins the parable of the prodigal son. I don't believe that's a coincidence. I believe they're connected. He illustrated with that lost son finally coming back to his father, and the rejoicing that took place there as a shepherd receiving his sheep back again. you wandered away, God's ready to take you back. You know, God is a God of a second chance. And third, and fourth. If you're still taking breath, God's still giving you a chance. Because God wants, above all else, to have you in the fold with Him. Not wandering off and away. Sheep have no sense of direction. Thirdly, sheep are followers. There's a flocking instinct that they have. There's an evangelist, Al Wells, that we knew. I'm not even sure if he's even alive today, but he talked about having spent some time with a shepherd out in Colorado. And he said that this guy was kind of he's an old Indian, and he says he was kind of humorous to watch him, very quiet, didn't say too much. But his sheep were his life. And he'd play little games with them and stuff. And he'd sit there and he'd put out his rod, and the sheep would come by, and one would jump, and another would jump, and another would jump. And then he'd pull the rod away, and the sheep would keep jumping. And he'd sit there and go, his chuckle. He said, they're followers. It's like a little boy in school. The teachers asked him, he says, Johnny, he says, if you had 15 sheep and three of them jumped over this fence, how many would you have left? And he said, none. She said, Johnny, you don't know your math. She said, teacher, you don't know your sheep. They're followers. Isn't that us? We're quick to follow. But we need to be careful who we choose to follow. Dean was talking again in Sunday school this morning about reading a lot and so forth. And I don't care what you read. I want you to be informed, but just do it critically. Compare it with what this book says. Just like you need to take everything that I tell you and compare it with what this book says. Because you need to be careful who you follow. God's the one we need to be loyal to. Not me, not somebody else. Look at this, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 28. Paul's meeting with the leaders at the church at Ephesus as he's on his way to Rome. He's called for them and he gathers them together and wants to give this final charge to them, this final encouragement to them. And he says this beginning in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. First thing he says to these elders of the church, he says, check your own hearts. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Get yourself right, make sure you're right, then take care of the flock you're responsible to. To feed the church of God which you purchased with His own blood. Notice what he says now, for I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There is a lot of false doctrine out there. And it's going to get worse as the time gets closer. Deceiving and being deceived. You see it all the time. Harold Camping is just one singular example of a multitude of false teachers that are out there. We need to beware. You need to understand that. And before you decide to accept somebody's teaching on something, as I said, you need to make sure it matches what the Scripture says. Because he says there's people looking to come in, these grievous wolves, to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. For ulterior motives, for selfish purposes, to try to spoil the flock. Churches have been split up by all kinds of things. Amway, Shackley, all these other things come into churches of people trying to take advantage of of the fellowship they have with other believers. Oh, help me with this. Let's do this. You know, and I'm not against somebody getting involved in those things, but the way you try to recruit other people is the problem with that. Beware. But there's other more devious ways in which they do it as well. But verse 30 says this, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I've seen youth pastors and associate pastors do that very thing. Tear up a church. Maybe they disagreed with the pastor or something, and they left, and they tried to take as many people as they could with them, and the wouldn't come. They tried to plant as much poison there as they could to destroy whatever was left. Beware. There's false teachers out there, folks. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Or 11, verse 1, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That applies to me. As your leader, follow me as I follow Christ. But if you sense I've departed, you stop. And you need to hold every leader, everyone you choose to follow, to that same criteria. Take a look at the individual's life. Are they a wolf in sheep's clothing? There's a lot of them out there, folks. Beware. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Again, it's not just a blanket charge to follow the leader. It says, evaluate, consider the end. Look at that individual's life. Sheep are followers with a flocking instinct. And lastly, sheep are weak and defenseless because of our senses, their poor eyesight and hearing. It's complicated by the wool getting in the way of their eyes. By nature, they're easily overcome. And when attacked, they have no natural defense. They're easily overcome. They weary quickly and they can faint very easily. They're in constant need of a shepherd to protect them. He is our shepherd. He's the one who gives us courage. He gives us strength. We need to trust in Him. Rely upon Him. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord God, I pray for your help in recognizing our needful condition. The need of our dependence upon you, Lord God. We're so prone to go wandering off on our own, to wanting to choose our own way. God, help us to stay close. God, if there's someone here this morning that has drifted away, we pray that you work to bring them back. Help them, God, to know how much you care and you love for them and desire for the remaining close to you. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, speak to that heart. Help them to see their need of Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of you to meet that need. Oh God, work in our lives. Help us in seeking you always and keeping our eyes fixed upon you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.